When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Happy Halloween, trick-or-treaters, dreamers, campers, suspects, deadites, and friends till the end. It's your boy, Michael Myers Rothman. Guess what? The Rental is back. And what you're about to hear is a clip from our latest installment of it, which sees your Halloweenies heading to Crescent Cove, where they've been invaded by killer clowns from outer space. So, how do you hear the full thing? Well, you become a member of our Patreon, The Rewind. You can find a link in the description of this episode, or you can visit www.patreon.com/Halloweeniespod. Hope to see you there so we can give you one more cotton candy. Stephen Kyoto said, you know, I was trying to think of the most frightening image I can imagine. And for me, it was traveling down a lonely mountain road and behind me, a car would appear. And as it's passing me, it would be a clown staring at me. And that's as silly as the inception of Killer Clowns was, which I'm now imagining like the tiny car that they're in just like appearing behind him and thinking that it being frightening is funny because it's just, it is kind of funny at the same time.
It's fine. That's like one of the least frightening parts of the movie, I think, to me. There's a lot of creepy parts, but that's like, that one's fine.
It's also like, I mean, we talk about, it's like such a Stephen King thing, like just like this one little thing, like, oh, what if this happened?
Was it Duma McKee, right? That same thing. He was like, oh, I was walking down a road and I imagine if there were two dead twin girls in front of me.
Yeah, there was like a sign on a street and he's like, what if? And then boom, here's a 600 page book.
Well, the funny thing with it is like, isn't it like for the conception for it, wasn't it just because of the sewer grate? And then he just imagined like, what if there was someone down there? Like,
he was like, oh, what if like the troll from the Billy Goat's Gruff was down there or something, right? Like instead of a bridge, I think,
and then, you know,
something like that.
1400 page novel or whatever that comes out of that. Cool. Or it's not 1400, it's something close to that. But so then Edward Kyoto added, once you come up with that killer clowns from outer space, it kind of writes itself from there. You start thinking about all the circus motifs and opportunities to kill people in humorous, deadly ways. And, you know, you get a sense that like their approach to the effects, I think these guys really just really leaned into that idea as a sandbox. I mean, I think they just built the story around it. I think it really comes out in the execution of this movie because for me, I'm speaking personally here, it's really just like, I'm just waiting for the next set piece. You know, I'm not really that invested in what's going on with like a lot of the characters. I just wanted to get to what these clowns are going to do next. And I think that that's kind of funny in the way that that's pretty much how they conceptualize this. They're like, all right, we have this idea. And that makes so much sense coming from someone that's clearly, they clearly are more conceptual driven guys. And I think narrative driven, not no shade to them, but I think that's as effects guys, I would imagine that's probably what they're more into practical application. There's another quote here from Steven I thought was really funny because it gets into the conceit of the clowns, which this film actually does, surprisingly, towards the very end. They get into, you know, what, you know, they don't laugh, like, you know, or they're not funny clowns or whatever, which I thought was really funny. But
I actually really, I kind of like how they just all offer up a few different theories and they never land on one of them. That actually felt more realistic to me than, you know, Independence Day or whatever, where they're like, oh yeah, it must be this and this and this and this, which none of that is never going to work in a movie like this. So yeah, I enjoyed that quite a bit.
Well, it reminds me of like the original Night of the Living Dead, where they're like, oh, you know, an offhand remark of a reporter saying that it was a weather satellite that came down, but it's never confirmed that that's it. It's just like, that's
and then
it,
the next movie, it's like, oh, there's no more room in hell. That's why the dead are like, it could be anything, right? Yeah. Love that.
So this is Steven's theory. This made me laugh. Quote, This is an alien race that just happens to look like clowns. They, they weren't supposed to be aliens that would dress up like clowns. They were sort of like a species of slugs from another planet. And their ornamentation just makes them look like clowns, which is the most batshit fucking crazy quote to try to remember. He says,
"Well, because don't they say that?" In the, and when they're speculating, right? They're like, "Oh, maybe they were here first in Earth."
Yeah, ancient aliens. Maybe that's where we got clowns.
It's just even though they have all the same carnival fare that we would get, like cotton candy and popcorn and all this other stuff. Which, if we really wanted to break it down, I guess we could probably deduce who invented popcorn and candy. But anyway, the main thing that was that we wanted to avoid anything that a regular clown maniac would do. A clown maniac. This is just such a great quote. Our inspiration came from Wes Craven and Nightmare on Elm Street. And even though it was pretty violent and stuff, what we liked was the aspect of dream kills, where it could be anything in your imagination in the dream world that could kill you. That's what we modeled our killer clown kills after. And I absolutely see that. I totally get that in this movie. What about you, Off?
Wait, I mean, I get it in theory, but like when watching this movie, never was I like, oh, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Like, I, you know, it's like The Blob, monster movies, sure. Like, you know, King Kong and Invasion of the Body Snatchers, like for sure. Never once was I like, oh, Freddy Krueger.
I did the one. And this is interesting because I think this predates this movie. I actually did think of the bathroom scene where the popcorn larva become like the alien snakes almost. I did think of the Freddy snake.
Yeah.
That's three, right? No.
Three, right?
Three,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
It's with the one that gets Patricia Arquette, right?
Yeah, it is. But what year is that? Was that before or after this?
That was 87, so it would have been the year beforehand.
After this, yeah. I mean, they're not the first people to have serpentine, you know, creatures with humanoid heads in film history, but it did remind me of that. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I see what they mean by the surrealism. I think because Freddy is so, like, I totally do see it, but I agree with Rachel. Nightmare on Elm Street is so violent, like, because there's always what always happens in those nightmare death sequences is that they start off really surrealistic and almost whimsical sometimes. Like, I'm thinking about the comic book slashing, right? And then at a certain point, there's just like a really violent moment. And maybe it's because you see how they die in the real world or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
That it just becomes not surreal and funny anymore. It's just like, ugh, it's kind of skeevy. And that this movie, although I do find it creepy, never quite does that. And I actually have some theories to why that's the case, but I'll wait till Great Graphics to talk about that. But yeah, anyway, yeah. But I do see the influence for sure.
Well, there's just a couple of conceptual. I don't think they lean into it fully. I think that if there were, like, I think of the bus stop shadow monster, like that feels very Freddy to me, especially later era Freddy, which honestly, this is when that Freddy would exist, because 88 is also the same year we get Dream Master, which is really the one I think of when it comes to conceptual Freddy, like the type of kills. I mean, three really does bring it up to speed, especially with
like the big
TV
set pieces and
then
everything,
the puppet. Yeah. But like the big set pieces come from Dream Master, where it's just like, you know, kid mentions a bug and she turns into a fucking cockroach. Or I mean, that's it really does lean into that. But I did want to mention one more quote, because Edward, in the same interview, he had a really good point on the killer clown genre. Edward says, you know, it's funny that the image of clowns prior to our movie was pretty normal. Stephen King's It with Pennywise had come out before the movie, but the miniseries came out after our movie. We were really the first movie to give clowns literal teeth. Our movie didn't really do well. It wasn't well received at the time, but in the last 30 years, it's built up this incredible following. It's really become a cult classic. I don't know why I included that last part, but he, anyway, I take it, sorry, but so I never thought about it, but it is true. Like, I think about, like, because around this time, John Wayne Gacy is also a serial killer, but it's not until the early 90s when it starts coming forward, right? Or like, oh no,
I feel like in the 90s is when I really heard about Gacy, but he got executed in, like, I'm looking it up.
It was 94.
94. When was he arrested, though?
He was sentenced in 1980. So the investigation had already happened in the late 80s, or late 70s. But yeah, but I don't remember hearing really about the killer clown of Gacy until the 90s. But I was just trying to
feel like a 90s figure, which is weird to say because he died in the 90s. But yeah, maybe.
Internet, baby.
I know. Well, that is true. That is a big part of it. But I, you know, when you think about killer clowns, but clowns in horror, are killer clowns even like the first that come up, or is it always Pennywise?
always Pennywise, but you're talking
to
like,
it has to be.
I mean, we're all Stephen King.
That is true. We are the losers club. So this it's hard.
At this point, Pennywise, though, I mean, because it's like, it's chapter one's like the most successful horror movie of all time, now, right? Yeah. It's just crazy. But I feel like, yeah, even before that, I feel like if you said killer or horror clown, scary clown.
Yeah, for sure. I think before you would still hear that, especially with like mainstream people, like who outside of like people that were like focused on the horror genre. I mean, that's like the most mainstream killer clown, right?